Welcome to a bonus episode of Season 12 of Digital Learning Radio. I'm Catherine, and I'm joined by my co-host, Laura.
Hello.
In this season of the podcast, we've been sharing what is inspiring us on our ongoing story of learning. Well, we blinked, and it's December, and we're back for this bonus episode.
Hooray! I love a bonus episode, and we love this season so much, we just couldn't stay away. So we wanted to come back together here at the end of the year to spend some additional time reflecting and sharing some of our favorite things of the year. So we recorded a similar episode at the end of last year in 2021, and I am stoked to be doing it again. Plus, I really enjoy just getting to list a bunch of things that I love instead of having the constraint of figuring out how to share just one.
Well, me too. And I am enjoying this practice of engaging in even more reflection and thinking back over the year as a whole. So, you know, we did another bonus episode back in August with our biggest takeaways to wrap up the season of summer professional learning. And we framed that conversation around Elena Aguilar's three B's to consider changes in behavior, beliefs, and ways of being.
Oh, that was such a fun episode and also a really helpful practice. Mm-hmm. I know we just recorded an entire episode about being inspired by reflecting, and I think it shows. Mm-hmm. We also talk a lot about intention and purpose, and I think this bonus episode today really aligns well with one of our guiding purposes for the podcast as a whole, which comes from one of the ISTE standards for education leaders, and that is being a connected learner. The standard calls us to engage in reflective practices that support personal and professional growth.
Well, I think we both deserve gold stars because that's exactly what we're doing and we've done several times. And that is also one of our internal organizational belief statements, which is we must model best practice, innovation, and lifelong learning. And I think this podcast and today's episode is a perfect way to really live up to that belief.
I completely agree.
So here's how this will look. We each created a list of our favorite things from this year across 10 categories. We'll go through and each share one idea per category. Just one, Laura.
Okay. We'll see.
Some ideas are repeats from our podcast season. Some are related to a few now what next steps because of the podcast season. And some are brand new shares.
I am so excited for this. And I know that I've shared this before, but I follow a similar practice in my personal life where I started this of the year list a number of years ago to reflect about and think about a series of the best takeaways of the year. It's now expanded to be this sort of large tabbed shared spreadsheet. There's multiple categories, but mostly it just serves as a fun topic of conversation with friends and family at gatherings this time of year. And so I love that we're getting to follow a similar process here.
Well, thank you for allowing us to admire and acquire your little practice of your best ofs.
Absolutely. It's a really fun one. So let's get started. Let's jump into our categories and share our favorite things from this year. Our first category is books. So Catherine, take us away. What is your top book or favorite book of the year?
The one book that I think has improved my practice so much is Tiago Forte's book, Building a Second Brain. Mm-hmm. And I shared this information on our podcast episode about curation and PKM. It's not an education book, but it has really improved my practice.
I love that.
Laura, what about you? What about a professional book?
Okay, so I really had to think about it, but I think my favorite book of the year is going to be Dr. Katie Martin's book, Evolving Education, Shifting to a Learner-Centered Paradigm. Mm-hmm. I know that I've referenced it a handful of times, as well as the Learner Center Collaborative on the podcast. Last February, I participated in an online book study through the Learner Center Collaborative. It inspired so much of the thinking design behind a lot of my summer sessions, and really just a deeper understanding of this idea of agency, choice, and empowering learners. So, book of the year for me.
Great share.
So I know you said one, but I'm already going to sort of cheat. I have a second book of the year, and I'm going to categorize it as a personal life share. So will this work for you?
Oh, yes, of course.
All right, let's do it. So my personal life book of the year is by Anthony Doerr, and it is Cloud Cuckoo Land. I heard about this book from so many places, and I was like, okay, I gotta try it out. I loved it. I was worried. I was excited. I was weepy. I was overjoyed. There are five protagonists, so we flip through multiple people's perspectives. There are three timelines. One takes place during the War of Constantinople. One is modern day, and one is set in the near future in space. The whole time I was reading it, I was like, I don't know how to describe what I'm reading, but I know that I love it. So that is my book of the year and would absolutely recommend it for a personal life read.
Okay, that will be on my TBR.
Hooray. What about you? Do you have a real life read you want to share?
Well, this one is going to kind of overlap professional and personal books. It is nonfiction and it is Find Your Unicorn Space by Eve Rodsky. And the subtitle is Reclaim Your Creative Life in a Too Busy World.
Ooh, I love that.
So this book is all about creativity and it talks a lot about overcoming burnout, but I also just love the idea of a unicorn space. Eve's formula for creativity is you take curiosity, connection, and then completion, like complete some kind of project. And I think our podcast is a perfect example of one of my unicorn spaces because we come with a curiosity, we share, and then we've got a published piece of work. So that's a unicorn space, but I've just also been thinking about in my real life too. So different creativity projects and job crafting, but it's a great read.
Oh, I love that. And I remember you talking about it, so I need to add it to a higher piece of my to read next list. So excellent.
Yeah. Okay, so for category two, we're going to share a favorite tech tool. So, Laura, what do you think?
All right. So this year, this is a different type of tech tool than maybe some shares in the past. I'm going to share the accessibility color checker site. I think I've mentioned it, or you have mentioned it in passing on the podcast, but it is just so easy to use and just integral to my workflow and process now that I think it's got to take the tech tool of the year for me just to quickly check to see if the colors that I'm using can pass that accessibility piece.
Fantastic. And it is a new website for me as well. I looked at that and I like it better than the other one I was using. So thank you,
Nice.
Laura.
Nice. What about you? Tech tool of the year.
So mine is going to be FormMule, which is a, what do they call it now? Extension or add-on for Google Sheets. And this is not a new tool for me, but like you, this has become an integral part of my workflow to extend the learning and provide follow-up emails and check-in emails. I shared it this summer with the conference planning team, and then I was able to do another webinar outside of work, but it is just a mail merge tool that automatically takes your spreadsheet information and you can schedule your emails and send automatic emails that are personalized. So I highly recommend checking out FormMule.
Well, I know that you are a wizard with FormMule and do all sorts of wizardy, magical things with it. So I aspire for that to be my tech tool of the year. All right, category number three. I'm excited about this one, which is to add a learning leader of the year. So who have you learned a lot from this year? Catherine, you want to share?
I think my favorite learning leader this year has been Michael Bungay Stanier.
Hooray.
And Lori, you talked about him on a podcast about the seven essential coaching questions. And a coffee EDU friend, Jen, mentioned him as well. But he is everywhere. And I think he has relaunched a podcast, a newsletter, a website, his YouTube channel. I've read a book and a half, and I mentioned I am doing outside of work book studies of his work. So his work has so influenced what I'm thinking about now and doing. He is also an amazing facilitator in the webinars I've watched from him, and I've picked up facilitation moves. So I am so excited about everything that Michael shares. Plus, he's very quirky, and I just love his sense of humor. He is so fun as a learning leader. So that's my share.
That's awesome. And I completely agree. He was one of those people that once I became aware of him, I'm like, this dude is everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I love that you've learned so much from him this year.
Okay, Laura, who is your learning leader?
So I'm going to have to go with Elena Aguilar. Mm. She has been around in the coaching scene for a while. However, her newest book, the PD book, 7 Habits That Transform Professional Development, this is showing up truly everywhere. I know we are both reading this book. We've mentioned it a few times. It has so many great things. I'm also really interested in sort of the way reading her book Onward, which is cultivating emotional resilience in educators, as well as coaching for equity. The resources on her Bright Morning site have really been a go-to for me as I have partnered with instructional coaches. She has a fantastic newsletter, and just in everything that she does, there is this fierce commitment to belonging and equity in a way that I aspire to be like. So I think I've learned so much from her in a variety of methods. And so, yeah, Elena Aguilar, my learning leader for the year.
Excellent share. I would agree with that. Okay, our next category is a planning pro tip. So Laura, kick us off with that.
So I have to say that the very first thing that popped into my mind was honing my pre and post email game. And then I looked at this bonus episode that we recorded last year, and that was my share last year. So I don't know if that means I'm continuing to hone, or I think I have, and I'm continuing to have to work on it. But regardless, I decided to have a different share. And so that is, when I'm facilitating, I have really started to plan for pauses for reflection. Mm. And so having these small pauses at the end of a section or a big idea or an activity, and even taking that a step further to have sentence stems for participants to use as they have a quick pause to reflect and capture their thinking from a section of learning. Mm-hmm. It's something that I've been doing a lot this year, and that I think that intentional planning is so helpful. Reflection and protocols for organization have really entered my way of being this year. And so I think that this planning for these pauses for reflection goes hand in hand.
I love it. It's such an important part of professional learning. And I think for post-pandemic times, it has really become important for our work.
Of course. What about you? What's your planning pro tip?
I am going to do the first shout out for Priya Parker and Art of Gathering and her idea of to not begin your session with logistics is so important. So my typical planning process is I think about people first, and that is an introduction and some connecting activity, and then purpose, hone in on why are we really here. And then the third thing will be logistics. And that framework or that little flow makes it so easy to plan my slides, to plan my agenda. Just think people, purpose, logistics. And interestingly, I tweeted this out and someone replied, PPL, that acronym, equals people, which I just love, because we've talked so much, Laura, about making sure that the people are the center of our work. And so I thought, oh, that is just so humanizing, making sure it's all about the people we serve. So
I love that.
Yeah. So there we go. People, purpose, logistics.
That's perfect. Also, you should definitely retroactively just say that that was your intention all along and that it was always about the people. So retroactively take credit.
Yes, of course.
All right. So our fifth category is facilitation pro tip. Catherine, what do you have for us?
I mentioned this in one of our episodes last season, this concept of priming. And this is the learning science definition from Jared Cooney Horvath and also from Daniel Kahneman and Thinking Fast and Slow. And this is the idea that recent associations impact how people take in and remember new information. So for instance, if people have a long, messy commute, if they've got a lot of other things on their minds, when they start your session, they're thinking about that commute. They're thinking about other things. And so to help mitigate any of these feelings or frustrations, I need to think so carefully about that first strategy that I do. And again, that goes back to the last share about centering people. So making sure that there is some kind of check-in. And the other thing about priming is that if I want in my sessions for participants to collaborate throughout the session, I ask them to immediately do some kind of collaboration in the Zoom chat or face to face. If we're using a digital document, I immediately want them to write in that hyperdoc. And so trying to get participants typing in that document as soon as possible or using the chat as soon as possible. So just thinking about those first activities so carefully and priming for what's to come for the rest of the session, but then also remembering what people experienced right before they walked into our PD session is also what's on their mind. So that's a little bit lengthy, but there's my priming facilitation pro tip.
I love that. And again, just another layer of extreme intentionality and also wanting to center people in your sessions. So I love that.
Thank you. All right, Laura, what is your facilitation pro tip?
So mine actually goes back to my book of the year. This is an idea from Katie Martin's book, Evolving Education. And it's one that I think I mentioned in the summer bonus episode that we recorded. But really, I think my facilitation move of the year is this idea of incorporating when time or what I need time into our learning, especially when we're meeting face to face. So the quote from Evolving Education is, Katie describes this as establishing a regular when time where students actually have a block of time to catch up, get support, or investigate something that they're curious about is a step that you can take toward giving students more agency and shifting to be a learner-centered classroom. So I've taken that to just, number one, share this at face value, but also model it. So near the end of the time that I'm spending in sessions, I try to have some block of when time for people with a couple of suggestions or nudges of what they can do during that time. So often I ask them to consider applying an idea that they heard, maybe setting an actionable goal, connecting with a colleague, chatting further with me one-on-one or maybe in a small group, or exploring more to learn, usually some resources that I've curated. And so I have found this to be a much more effective use of time, because what I used to do was kind of do this thing like, okay, here's a thing, now do the thing in a block of application time. And so I think having this choice really does give people that autonomy or agency to really get what they need during that time. And it's been really good. So that's my facilitation move for this year.
Well, and it's such a clever name too, using when time, W-I-N. I think that is another layer and people are like, I'm winning just from using this time. So love that.
Yeah. Well, and rebel speaking here, I like to do what I need instead of what someone tells me to do. And so that appeals to me as well.
Nice. Okay. At number six, we're talking about a workflow or productivity favorite thing. So what do you have, Laura?
All right. So I have to disclaimer by saying I know that I am not even remotely using this to its capacity or possibly even for what it was designed for. But my answer is Notion. Yay. And I think I learned about this from you. But this year, I have really established this helpful, productive workflow using Notion to create create multiple to-do lists. I like the interface. I've got my top priorities. I have some lists that are categorized by people that, Catherine, the next time I see you, I know that I need to talk to you about this, this, and this. And then I can just check it off beautifully. And so that has been a really helpful thing. And, you know, I think we're all trying to streamline instead of leaving scattered post-it notes or keep notes or let me send myself an email, really honing that curation. And I have stuck with all year and it's been a really good piece of my daily workflow. So shout out to you, Catherine, and shout out to Notion.
I love my Notion to-do list. So that is a great recommendation.
Absolutely. What about you? Workflow or productivity idea, hack, tool for the year?
So mine is going back to the Building a Second Brain book. And this is the very specific idea from the book, 12 Essential Questions. Also, I talked about this in that PKM Curation and Code episode 6 this season. But these are 12 questions that I've created for professional and personal life. And I use these questions as a lens of what to save or materials to keep or quotes that I find and love. Mm-hmm. They all need to relate to one of those 12 questions. It also is helping me think about, do I want to read this book professionally or this one? And if it looks like it's going to really relate to one of those questions, then I'll pick up that book next. I have loved using those questions for my curation process. I had in the past a tendency just to save anything that looked interesting. And this is really helping me hone in on some specific things. The questions are broad, but they are just allowing me to keep less, be more essential about what I work on and keep. I will share in the show notes another post that is related to this, and this comes from Ness Labs, and the title of hers is Turn Problems into a Curiosity Engine. So that's what she calls these 12 questions, is her curiosity engine. So I love that.
Ooh, very nice. Very nice. Let's jump into category number 7, and that's going to be our reflective practice of the year. So do you have a specific reflection question or just practice that has really been your favorite this year, Catherine?
Well, this was very hard to narrow down for me. Mm-hmm. Reflection was my word from last year. So my process has become, I think, even more expanded. But I'm going to share something that is relatively new. And our friend Erin found this first. And she got this from the House of Shine. Mm. And there are 52, they look like kind of popsicle sticks. And it's called Do 52. And this is to help you set an intention of the week. And so you pick these little colored sticks and there is just a verb of the week. And I am using that as my intention. Hmm. And so I will choose one on Saturday or Sunday and kind of reflect on the word and then think about it throughout the week. I have it at the top of my Notion page, so I remember it. And perfect for recording a podcast. This week, my word is listen. And so that one,
I love it.
So that one is pretty obvious. Last week, my word was guard. And so I had to do a little bit more thinking about that. But then I came up with guard my time, guard my spending, guard my food intake, guard my energy levels. Mm. And so things like that. Anyway, it has been a great intention setting tool for me, and the little cards are very colorful, and I turn the stick the other direction when I use it so I can see what I still have left to choose.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of them right now and they look just delightful and very inviting. So cool.
Yes, I am enjoying my Do 52 intentions.
Okay, cool. I'll have to ask you what your word of the week is periodically.
Yes, yes. All right, Laura, what about your reflective practice?
So mine came from Karen Walrond, who was on an episode of Brené Brown's podcast, Dare to Lead, sometime last spring. And the title of the episode was Accessing Joy and Finding Connection in the Midst of Struggle, which number one, excellent title. But number two, she shared a reflective practice that just really stuck with me. It's three questions. And so it's asking yourself, how can I feel healthy? How can I feel connected? And how can I feel purposeful? And for whatever reason, again, that just resonated with me and stuck with me throughout the year. It is also a series of questions that I have at the top of my Notion. So I see it every day. It's also written on the inside of my hard copy notebook. And I even kept a journal and kept track for a while, particularly when I was feeling kind of a struggle with connection or purposeful in my work. And it was really helpful to just have that daily question of, okay, what am I doing to ensure I'm feeling healthy, connected, and purposeful?
Great share. And we use that in our burnout webinars. And I know many people have benefited from you sharing those questions. So excellent. Love it. Okay. So speaking about reflective practices, our next category is self-care. So what do you have for your self-care favorite tip?
So yeah, I really thought about it. And this year, I am going to say that my top self-care tip is purposefully disconnecting. So I have really started utilizing some of my phone's well-being features with actual fidelity. I've got it on a bedtime mode. So at the same time every night, it goes black and white, which I am somehow like incapable of using a phone when it is in black and white mode. But it also is just a visible reminder like, hey, time to start winding down. And then it just automatically puts it on do not disturb during the hours that I have set. My phone also has this cool function called flip to shush. And so when you flip it face down, it automatically puts it on do not disturb. Oh. So I'm not getting any little buzzes or even lights of notifications. And then when you pick it back up and flip it over, those notifications come through. And yeah, I'm just kind of liberally leaning into using that do not disturb function, and we'll just turn it off if I'm really trying to focus on a project, or some evenings of the week I'm like, and I'm done with notifications for today. It's also kind of helped me limit the doom scrolling and just really purposefully disconnecting specifically with my phone and using some of those features to help make that easier.
I love that. That is amazing. And I may have to admire and acquire and look more into my do not disturb features too.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. What about you? Self-care for you this year?
Well, I was so inspired by your self-care win from last year, yoga with Adrienne.
Hooray!
That is my favorite thing this year. I completed her 30-day challenge in January, and I've continued all year. I at least do a 5-minute wake-up routine daily. I try to do it about 3 times a week, something else, but I have loved all of Adrienne's work and her vibe, and it has been a fantastic practice. So thank you, Laura, for that tip.
Well, thank you, Adrienne, because she is a daily YouTube watch and practice for me as well. And I know that as an obliger, you love a challenge.
Yes,
so
I do.
Love that that 30-day challenge worked for you. And I'm looking forward to the latest one, which will kick off in January.
I'm ready.
All right, so this is one of my favorites. Our 9th category is a wild card share. So anything random that has been a favorite of yours this year, what do you have for us, Catherine?
I have mentioned Kat Velos on one of our early episodes, and she is an author and designer, and she has a Better Conversations wall calendar. And I am all about the digital tools, but I now have a paper calendar hanging on my wall in my kitchen. And Each month, she has a topic, and they are alternatives to how are you doing or what are you doing for the holidays. And there is a colorful block of text, and she's handwritten 30 different questions you can ask others. So instead of what are you doing for the holidays, it is maybe what do you like about this time of year? Which, if any, holiday rituals do you enjoy? How do you feel about New Year's? Those kinds of things. And I take a picture each month. I use the questions often for webinar check-ins, for conversation starters, for journal prompts. And then in the space with the calendar dates, I'm trying to sketch note in when things make me super happy or there's super special days. Mm-hmm. And so I'm so excited now at the end of the year to see all of my little drawings like, oh, a great book club, or I made bread today, or I got to see Laura in person, or things like that. So my wallpaper calendar is a wild card win.
Ugh, I love that. And I love this. Of course, this is one of your wins because you're so good at being intentional and really centering on people. But I love really thinking about alternatives to these default questions of how are you or what are you doing for the holidays, not knowing what anyone is going through or how they are. Oh, that's so good. I will definitely be checking that out.
Oh, yay. Okay, Laura, what about you? For a wild card share, what's your favorite?
Well, I feel a little weird following you because you have this like great and meaningful share, but mine is truly a wild card. And so I know last year I shared my favorite tea. And so this year I am sharing my favorite coffee. So for my favorite coffee this year, I want to share Kuju Coffee. So it's K-U-J-U. And so this is a company that was created by two Eagle Scout, Boy Scout brothers. And so these are these single serve pour over coffee things. And so basically their idea is even if you go camping, you should still be able to enjoy an excellent cup of coffee. And so you open up the package and there is already ground coffee in this little contraption. You pop out these little paper arms that sit on either side of your coffee cup. And then you just pour hot water over it. It will filter to be one cup of very delicious pour over coffee. And I think they're delightful. I keep one or two in my backpack in case I need a random pick me up, or if I'm not in a place that I can make a pot of coffee, I travel with them. I love them. And again, they're really tasty. So Kuju Coffee is my win.
That is amazing. And what an incredible contraption and solving a good problem. Like, we need coffee anytime, anywhere. So
absolutely.
Leave it to some Eagle Scouts for creating that. Fantastic.
Again, I think they actually created it. So if you're like hiking around and doing some extreme things that I am not doing,
right?
But, neither. I can still enjoy delicious coffee, not hiking around.
Okay. So a drum roll for our final favorite thing. Number 10 is, what is our word of the year? What's a summary or takeaway from 2022?
Okay. So I think you set out an intentional word of the year, but I was kind of doing the opposite, where I wanted to look back over this past year and think, okay, what emerged as my word? And I'm actually a little surprised, but I really think my word of the year is connection. Even though my self-care was disconnection, I think connection really crops up for a number of reasons. Really, for me, just seeking and needing to be connected to the work that I'm doing. I think this sort of post-pandemic need for connection with others has really cropped up for me, as well as I can just feel and see that in the sessions that I'm facilitating. People need those connections back to me, connecting my whole self and need for balance, challenge, and joy in my personal life and in the work that I'm doing. I design each of my sessions and meetings and gatherings with these focused INGs. And I think every single one this year, one of them was connecting. Mm-hmm. So these opportunities to connect both with others and to connect ideas. And then really just for me, I have gotten so much out of connection for informal learning this year, I think more than I ever have. So I have gotten so much out of and really enjoyed my time with groups, connecting with Learning Forward, with North Texas ITS, with internal small book studies, with our mastermind group. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, looking back, I really think my word and just sort of the summary for me is connection.
Oh, that is so beautiful, Laura. I love that. And I see that in all that you do. And you are connecting with so many people and connecting your work. And I think that is a perfect word and summary for your year.
Oh, thanks. What about you? What's your word and what's your summary takeaway for this year?
Well, last year, my word was reflection. And like I said earlier, I think I've even expanded it. So I have decided my word is introspection. When I looked up that definition, it is a reflective looking inward, an examination of one's own thoughts and feelings. And really taking the ideas of doing something with these reflections. Now that I'm knowing myself better, what patterns are emerging? What do I see? And then what actions can I take? Can I make a change? And I have an amazing reflection process. I have a plus minus next reflection at the end of the week, even the multi-dimensional career framework, reflecting and then doing something with that, connected to my unicorn space. Like, how do I find my curiosities? How do I connect? How do I do something with it? And so it is, I think, the next step with reflection. So finding those patterns and then taking action. So introspection is my word.
Well, similarly, of course, that's your word. That sounds exactly like you. And I think in all that you do and say and produce, that just extreme reflection, that internal reflection, that introspection really shines through. And so, of course, well spotted. That's the perfect word for you for this year.
Thank you. Well, woohoo and hooray. What a fantastic list of favorite things.
Yeah.
So I think we need to pause and celebrate because we have learned so much this year. And our favorite things list really exemplifies how much we've grown. So yay us.
Yay us indeed. And what a fun, fun practice. I love hearing all of those connections and callbacks to previous episodes and things that we've been working on. So very fun. And shout out to the year 2022.
Yes, shout out. So our show notes today are huge, as we've included links to all of the resources we mentioned. And all of this will be added to our Digital Learning Radio site, which is also linked in our show notes, and you can catch up on the previous episodes as well.
We'd also like to extend the invitation to you, dear listener, to share your ongoing story of learning as well. Take a moment to pause and think wherever you're listening from and consider, what are some of your favorite things from 2022? Find us on Twitter at @DigLearnRadio to continue the conversation and share your own learning that's inspiring you this week.
This season, we've been dedicated to sharing our learning and the things that have inspired us. We hope that when we share, the conversation and ideas will cultivate curiosity and inspire you to explore one of the resources, reflect on a question we've asked, or continue the conversation with us online. We are, as ever, inspired to learn from Gail Allen and her work in the new pillars of modern teaching. She reminds us that when we share, we add a sentence to the story we communicate about ourselves to the world. We'll be back in 2023, and until then, let's continue learning, sharing, and transforming. Let's get inspired.